Hi, I'm Richie Mackay.
And I'm David Bald, and you are listening to the Wrong Buyers Podcast.
And on today's show, we have EastEnders, the Mitchell Brothers, a.k.a. Alex Marshall MBE and Jason Pargerson. As chestnuts roast on an open fire, the lads preview the up-and-coming World Championship of Potters. And as the baby sham floors, the lads kick the can down the street and have a good old natter. Richie is currently working in Santos Grotto, so there's no roundup, but we do have our unusual competition sponsored by XX20, and it's double bubble as XX20 have kindly donated a £40 voucher, plus we chuck a few bits and bobs in as well. Thanks also go to Bowles' Bowls and Lead to Succeed for their continued support over the last 12 months. There's more Bowles chat, a review of the podcast, plus our annual bloopers. And if that's not enough, Davey wheels out an old friend. Right, here we are, mate. Boxing Day special for everybody listening to us. It's Happy Christmas. We hope you've enjoyed your Christmas lunch. Turkey feathers in our mouths, mate, and Christmas pudding.
Yep.
Celery sticks for you, obviously.
Yeah, I think I'll have probably put about a stone on from the weight that I've lost so far, so I'll have a bit of work to do for the new year to get that back up again.
Been a strange 2021. Sadly, mate, Omicron. I think we'll do well to get away with seeing a full season out. Indoors, I think we might get hit for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, it's not looking promising, isn't it? I suppose in comparison to 2020, I suppose we've had a lot more positives. At least we've been able to get on the green and we've seen some competitions, etc. So just got to hope this one, you know, with all the vaccinations, etc. Let's just hope this one passes quickly and we can get back to playing on the green and get these competitions done for the season, because I would hate to see anything affect that again, especially for the indoor side of the sport.
And of course, on today's show, we've got two old good friends, Mr. Parkinson and Mr. Marshall.
The Mitchell brothers themselves, both had a fresh polish before they came on. That was the head, of course, before they came on. Nah, great guys. Always great to have on the podcast, and spot on as always. They're not shy to give their opinion, and very respected opinions they are too. Or so they should be.
Yeah, great. I think they're both tremendous ambassadors for the sport, mate.
Definitely.
I think for what the work Jason does off the green, and for the achievements that Alex done on the green, I don't think the sport can have any complaints with them too, mate.
Right then, our 30th show, and we're going to welcome two oldies. They've been on the podcast multiple times before, and the ratings are still all right, so they must have done all right. Yeah, they dipped a little bit when we had Mr. Parkinson on, but massive welcome to Mr. Parkinson and Mr. Marshall, MBE, looking like the Mitchell brothers on screen here. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to take a picture for the promotion.
Take a picture of you.
You know what? I just cut my hair about half an hour ago. Diane had said to me, "Your hair's too long," so I just gave myself a haircut 5 minutes ago. I don't think Jason's cut his hair today, I don't think. Or have you, Jason?
Get out of my pub.
So what brand of polish do you two lads use?
Monkey grip. That's what I use, mate.
Welcome to the show, guys. Really great to have you on. Just a little Christmas get-together, seeing as it's the end of the year. So a bit of a chat, and we're going to start. I'm going to get straight into it, actually. I'm going to move straight over to Mr. Parkinson. Sum up your 2021, Mr. Parkinson. How's it been?
Interesting. Busy. Quite good. Yeah, so it's just been bowls, bowls and more bowls, really.
I'm presuming from your own point of view, you must be proud of obviously how things have gone with regards the year and the PBAs, etc.
Regarding the PBA, it was a big decision for me just to take over that side of it. You know, I've been a player in that on and off quite a while. The off side of it was partly due to either work or health. And then the rest of it was I'd just kind of fallen out of love with it, if you wish. Just a mixture of things thinking, I don't really think this way of doing things is working. I think there's a lot of trust gone, if you wish. And it was just going by the wayside. So when they asked me to get involved, you know, I was kind of like, say, well, I'm quite interested because I want the thing to do well, but you know, how much scope have I got to make, you know, changes if you wish, and at what level? When we had a good chat with this new board, they were fully behind me making the changes. And I think it's been quite well received, to be honest. You know, I know you've spoken about it in some of the previous of your podcasts. You know, thank you for mentioning that. You know, I do listen to them when I'm really bored or can't, you know, sleep.
Harsh.
Yeah, people can't see your hat. So it's really good.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to move over to Alex, a slightly different angle for you, I've no doubt, because I know things have been very much restricted in Scotland and you've been very limited as to what you can do. So how would you sum up your year 2021?
To be fair, it's not been great. You know, I've not had a great year at all. To be fair, you know, I love to get out in the Bowling Green to get out and play as much as I can. But, you know, during the outdoor season, you know, we hardly got, there was no county games purely because of COVID. I had a few practice matches, but, you know, there was not a lot happening, you know, during the summer, you know, with the bowling. But certainly once the, you know, the indoor came around in September, I played quite a lot of games for the club in the Scottish Leagues, which have been quite successful. And it's just great to get, you know, back on the green again and, you know, meeting a lot of your friends that you've never seen for quite a while. So, yeah, we did turn the corner coming into September, but I think now it's not looking very good for the next couple of months. But certainly, I've missed travelling over to, you know, Australia. As you know, I go over there twice a year, which has been a big miss, you know, for myself, because, you know, it's great. It's good competitive bowling over there, and I like to compete, you know, as you know. So, yeah, I've certainly missed that, but hopefully we get through January for the World Championships. As Jason said, there's a lot of work being put in, you know, in the background, and let's hope that we do get a crowd, you know, of maybe 500 or whatever, because it's always good to see a crowd, you know, when the cameras are on the TV, you know, when the games are going on. It's not nice just to see two players and an official on the bowling green. So fingers crossed things turn out for the better and we're able to get a good World Championships with a crowd.
And touching on the Australia theme, Alex, we've just seen some very positive recent news for yourself, going over to play for Deer Park Bowling Club, is it, over in Australia?
Yeah, you know, it came out of the blue. You know, I've got my visa for February. I'm flying out the 1st of February. So I'm going over for the BPL to represent the Brisbane Pirates, and I'm playing for Moama in the UBC. So in between times, you know, there's a lot of spare time. So Mark Casey, who's the bowls coordinator at Deer Park, got in contact with myself and asked me if I could play for Deer Park, which, you know, I grabbed with both hands. You know, it's another opportunity to, you know, I've never played in the Victoria Pennants before, so played in the New South Wales Pennants. But yeah, it's another challenge for myself. And, you know, when you get these opportunities, you know, you grab them with both hands. And, you know, I'll look forward to, you know, going over and representing Deer Park and playing in the Pennants for them. So yeah, there's a lot happening. But whether it happens, you know, we're still dealing with this Omicron virus at the minute, and who knows what can happen between now and travelling over in February.
You're playing with somebody called Joe Edwards.
Yeah, you know, Joe's one of my favourite female players. You know, she plays the man's game. You know, she's not afraid to play the heavy shot, and it'd be an honour, you know, for myself to be in the same team as Joe. You know, I've always had a great deal of respect for her. She's won many things all over the world, so it's a BPL that I can't wait to take part in. That, as I say, hopefully that I'm able to get over there and, you know, and compete, you know, with Joe and represent the Brisbane Pirates. But you know what? I think it's great. You know, the way that the Bowls Australia have set the game up over there. It's I think it's fantastic that they do allow the, you know, the ladies to compete against the men, because you've got so many lady bowlers over there that are just as good as the men. So, you know, it's just great to get an opportunity to be in the same team as Joe Edwards.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. We've said it before. Certainly more about the tactical side of the game, that the women have adopted the men's tactics. I think that's what we'll leave it at there. Right, then. 2022 World Championships predictions. We've got some great games going on. Let's stick you on the fence. Having a look at the, we've all had a look at the draw. Who we're going for?
Nobody else turn up, because I'm going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great
one. No, I'm only joking.
No, that's good. I don't know where you get your confidence from, because obviously you haven't done much in the game, but obviously you've backed yourself. But is there anybody else who you're thinking, looking at the competitors in the field, is there anybody there who sticks out? Obviously, Paul's going to be a big one for you, because obviously the two of you have won it more time than anybody else, but...
Yeah, I think your usual guys, your Harlows, your Nicky Bretts and Stuart Andersons and Paul Fosters, you know, there's so many good players. But I think a dark horse, not a dark horse, but a guy whose first time he's ever been in the World Championships is Jamie Walker. You know, we all know how good Jamie Walker is as a player. And obviously he's got a tough opponent in Jamie Chesney. But I think Jamie Walker's certainly one person to look out for. As I say, he's never been involved in the event before. So, you know, he's not going to be fazed by anybody at all. If he can play the way that he can normally play, I think Jamie Walker could—he's got the potential to win the whole event. You know, if he plays well and gets the wee breaks along the way, you know, there's no reason why, you know, he can go on to win the world indoor singles. But you know, as Jamie said earlier, there's some terrific games there. Yourself and Robert Paxton, and there's a few. Mervyn King's now playing Scott Edwards, so. Yeah, there's a lot of potential games. I've got a hard game, you know, myself. I play Mark McPeak. It's going to be hard. I'm at the bottom end of the ranking list. You know, that's not going to put any extra pressure on me. But, you know, I just go out, take one game at a time. You know, I know I've got a hard game. I'll need to play well to beat Mark. Mark's a steady lead. He's been for his country, has done so for many, many years. And he's going to be a hard opponent. So, you know, I'll need to be on top of my game to win.
He's got a bit of pedigree there now as well. He's been there a few times now. Is that right? Mark's qualified a few times from Ireland, I think. This is certainly second off the bounce and all that.
Yeah, I think he's qualified four times now, I think, for this one.
Yeah, so he's got pedigree there behind, so it's not going to be a daunting experience anymore.
Yeah, so, like Alex said, you know, you've got good players where Mark is a very good player, but he comes with a game plan. You know, you can see he comes with a game plan. You know, he's very, very professional with that, you know, and he's very, very focused as well, which goes in his favour quite a lot of the time as well. So, yeah, it's good. Very, very good.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, there's so many good players involved. You know, we all know that, you know, there's 32 players in the field and, you know, easily any one of them can win it. But your top 16, you're always looking at, you know, your top players, as I say, Nicky Brett, Greg Carlo, Paul Foster, Stuart Anderson. You know, there's many more. But I think, you know, what you need is to be playing well, win your first game, get yourself into the event, and normally if you can play well for the rest of that week, getting one or two breaks going along the way, you'll not be too far away.
There's a few good ones, isn't there? There's like, you know, there's the two Jamies. That's a very, very interesting game. You've got yourself, David, you know, get you in there. And Robert, another fantastic game. It's always very hard, isn't it, to make a prediction when you're talking about sets. Very, very difficult. You know, it's a case of, it's the very, very short anyway, get to a tie break, you know, and a little bit of luck sometimes can win a tie break. I'm not a massive fan of a 3-end tie break, but it just keeps it, you know, nice and quick. But yeah, I think there's some very, very good first round games, definitely. But I think those two that I've just mentioned are my pick of the first round. Not for, as in, you know, lack of respect for the other players. I just think it's quite good for, from my side of it, as a PBA director, to see that you think, oh, some PBA qualifiers this year, quite a few of them that could do very, very well in this competition. And then I might be wrong, they might turn up, it might be an absolute awful game. You get that sometimes, don't you? You get so many really, really good games, and how many competitions do you get to the final? And it's like, oh, a bit of a damp squid, that. Bizarre, isn't it?
Great. I mean, you look at Trevor against Jason Greenslade. Trevor on his day is as good as anybody. You know, just absolute natural talent. Catherine against Mark Royal is going to be another tough one. Obviously, Alex and Catherine had a great battle last year. Yeah, I think there's, you know, just looking at those first round draws, I think it'll create a good buzz for the start of the competition, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just glad that Catherine managed to adopt the man's game.
you know what, I think, you know, Mark Royal should go on okay this year, because it's one against one. It was two against one last year for myself. I just thought that Catherine had the upper hand, you know, two against one, having the baby in her stomach. And I was on a hiding and nothing there. That's my excuse. Yeah, it was two against one.
Mr. Mackay, come on then, what's your thoughts?
Well, I tipped Alex last year, so I'm still going to tip Alex this year. Where's JP gone? Where's he gone? He's run away. Well, I'm going to go for Alex again, because he hasn't been on the green too much, and I think he'll peak down there in January. Mind you, I'd love to see Davey win it, mind you, but I think Alex will do it again.
I was just going to say there, thanks for the support there, partner, but I'll let you off. You came in.
Well, you can play Alex in the final. Are you in the other half of the draw?
He doesn't even know where you are as well, David. Terrible, isn't it?
He's there. He's on that bit of paper there. Jason, is the overseas players still all coming over?
I was just saying then, as you were having trouble dialing in through that hat that you're wearing, Israel have just pulled out this afternoon as well, due to the change in their travel arrangements regarding UK being on their red list. So at the moment, South Africa are not coming and also Israel are not.
Do you know who's took the Israel place yet or not?
Yeah, I do. I could probably say on here because obviously we're being a Boxing Day show. Yeah, Merry Christmas and all that. It is going to be Scotland's John McCrory. Yeah, because how we're doing it this year is obviously whenever you put a player into a draw that's already been done, I'm happy to put any player in there as long as we can say these are the reasons why. And not because we've just decided it's a wild card because he knows me, mate, or something like that. So best way we can do it is, and what the rules currently state as well, is if a qualifier isn't coming, it goes back to that branch. And that branch, as in i.e. South Africa and Israel, can nominate to send another player. Because it's a travel restriction, that then comes back to the PBA director, which at the moment is myself. And then we take that from the PBA ranking list. Because we haven't played, and it's a three-year ranking list like the world one is, it's almost defunct, really. And it is, you know, this would be the last time we use it. We've got a meeting to discuss what the new ranking list looks like. So we said, well, we'll keep that one. We will then take the members that haven't rejoined this year out, because they're not technically a member, because they haven't played. And then what we've done is, because this year has been very, very different, there's been multiple competitions, we've said we will take the player's first result. Whatever they get in that first result, as in the first one they enter, we will apply the points accordingly to the list, and that's how we've got the list. So we're working our way down that particular list, yeah.
It's fair to say last year you were sort of like putting out fires after, because obviously the way the players were picked last year, you were getting criticised a lot. So is it more a case of now being more open, out up in front? And
I think last year it was still kind of like, it was all, we either make something happen or it doesn't happen at all. Yeah. You know, it's a case of you've got to make something run. You know, keeping bowls on TV is really, really important. And I do firmly believe even now, if it ever drifted off, we'll probably never get it back. So that was the main thing, is we must keep this, you know, event on TV. And it happened. And I think, you know, I wasn't part of the board then. You know, whatever happened for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I can see some people's comments, but they don't see the politics behind that. You know, these are the decisions why, because we need to meet this contractual agreement and that kind of stuff. Those were why, yeah. And I said, well, in anything, bowls is the worst at being, you know, the communication in bowls is dreadful at all levels, not just club level. You look at it, you know, all the way through all organisations, certain things, you're still looking for big tournaments, you're still looking for the results. Like, well, there's a tournament on today, where's the result? No idea. And when things are happening, especially when you're looking at a world championship in the middle of a pandemic, and there's a lot of decisions having to be made, there's always going to be something maybe not that people wanted. So then this year, we kind of say, okay, let's be prepared. You know, we've been having so many meetings this year, it's been unbelievable, but we've got everything covered. We didn't think this was going to happen, but because we planned for it just in case, we're in a far better position now because we planned for it. Even though I personally didn't think we'd be sat here now, 2 weeks away, still not knowing we're going to have day visitors or even visitors, you know what I mean? I just, you know, as long as we can keep day visitors, as in the residents, I think we should be good. Yeah, because like Alex said, it must be like, I was obviously stuck in the box with Nikki, but I felt sorry for the players really, because it's the best event there is for that particular time. And, you know, it's just a curtain and an umpire and the air conditioning going and...
Jason, is there any update on, obviously, you'll not obviously know the really up-to-date stuff on crowds, I take it, is there still going to be crowds at this present moment in time?
Yes, at the moment, I think the guests are limited to 500, I think, at the moment. Yeah. I think when I was looking the other day to get people some bookings, most of the packages, if you wish, have almost gone. We decided to keep both of the stands, but you've got the main grandstand, haven't you, the 1,100-seater almost, and the smaller one. We said, well, although it's reduced, we'll keep both stands in to allow for that spread. We've still got the day tickets as well. That's my worry. I think if anything goes, it'll be the day visitors. Because when people are on site, like the players, obviously we have our own testing regime through our regulations. Potters have something very similar. So once you're on board that site, there's testing in place. And you can manage that, you know, very, very well. If you start having day visitors, it's how they manage that. So I think if anything change between now and then, it could be, you know, day visitors. I was winding Wayne Wilgress up because he has his Wenger bus, doesn't he, of his I think he's got a coach of 50 bucks already, I think, for his game, and that'd be, you know, a massive shame for him and his, you know, his team of supporters there should that go. But if it goes, we have to back it, and we have to keep everybody safe. We really do, because it's a big, big site. But when you're all
in an area, and they just spent a fortune on these really good HEPA 2 filters, which are like what the Airbus manufacturers have, and that they're very, very good filters. And you know, anyone that's been to Potter's, though, you can't touch a door without getting something squeezed onto your hand, can you? So, oh, okay, yeah. At the moment, everybody's still on board. We have the regulations in place, you know, regarding all the tables out again. But yeah, I do believe the Christmas period will have an effect.
And now we catch up with the Wrong Buyers Under 25 Choir. And if you think I'm listening to that lot, you've got another thing coming. Let's get to the nitty gritty. On the 12th day of Christmas,
my true love sent to me. 12. Alex Marshall, MBE.
Hey, Nelly.
Izzy Wizzy, let's get busy.
David Corkill.
Balls of Balls.
Jason Parkinson.
Hello, this is Alistair Hollis, Balls England.
David Bald.
Tall Shard.
Stuffing a turkey.
The news this is.
Of.
Nibble on me gherkin.
You know, when I played Catherine, you know, I don't think I've ever enjoyed a game so much in all my life, even though I lost. Because, you know, we chatted through the game, we chatted them in different shots. And that's something that you don't normally do when you're normally playing in front of 1,000 people or 500 people. You're normally so focused, and sometimes you're not aware of the crowd because of the, you know, the cameras. You're so focused on what you're doing. But when there's no one there and you've just got the cameras there, it's like, it's different. And, you know, myself and Catherine just spoke away during the whole game. And, you know, I just had to praise her at times for all the shots she was playing. And you know that, you know, it's part and parcel of the game. That's what you've got to do. But it's certainly a game that I enjoyed the game. I thought it was great, and it was great to be part of. But apart from losing, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Probably one of our beefs, wasn't it, Davey, where Catherine beat a multi-world champion and she didn't get the recognition in the national press, did she, really?
Yeah, we did, sir, didn't we? We don't help ourselves. I think Jason just summed it up there. We don't help ourselves by promoting ourselves enough. So when it gets to that type of thing, it's like, is it a surprise that we don't get the recognition? I don't know. But yeah, just one of those.
The Fallon Sherrod gets when she wins at the darts.
That's it, yeah.
It's incredible, you know, and Bowles should be the same.
If we look back 15 years pre-Barry Hearn in the darts, would she have probably got the recognition she got because Barry Hearn's there? Probably not, because back in the BDO days at the Lakeside, it may have been exactly the same. She may not have got that recognition the same as what we are. That's just the steps that we need to make. And hopefully we've got the man in position there who's going to drive this, to Barry Hearn Parkinson there.
No comment.
Right, mate, as it's our last show of 2021, I thought it would be nice just to do a little bit of a review of how the podcast's gone over the last 12 months. We've managed to knock out 11 episodes, which we hope everybody's enjoyed. The listening figures is just under 18,000. The way I look at it, mate, is we've managed to continue while other podcasts seem to have fell by the wayside a little bit.
Yeah, we had our, you know, I think we had our quiet spell, didn't we, where there wasn't a great deal to report on, but we dropped one in now and again, and we've just kept, you know, I think we've had a couple of things to keep us busy as well, haven't we, with the with the streaming and the bits and pieces that we do alongside the podcast. It's kept us ticking along nicely. And yeah, I mean, the highlight, I think, for me is, I haven't even checked with what the most recent figure is, the streaming we did over the PBA qualifiers up at Stanley. Last count was kicking on 80,000.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Tremendous. I mean, there's two feathers that we've added to our caps, the YouTube channel, where we've uploaded all the streaming that we've done, and of course the live streaming itself. It's gone off very well. It's been good, mate. I've enjoyed it, I must admit. It's a bit nerve-wracking to get it all set up, hoping that the quality of stream is going to be okay and what have you. But I think the feedback that we've had's been very welcome indeed.
It has, and it's you know, all thanks to yourself. It hasn't half come a long way since that initial chat we had where we just said, fancy doing a podcast, mate? And I get on. We might as well have a bash, see if anybody wants to listen to us. And I think we've got a really, really solid core of about 300, 350 listeners every podcast, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And the streaming has obviously just, as you said, it's just been an addition, which has been a huge positive for us. And we always, you know, we always said that there is a big audience out there for people who just want to watch balls. You know, it's nothing, no airs or graces. It doesn't have to be anything over the top. They just want to watch some balls. And,
yeah,
you know, even if it's just your man down the park with a, or a woman for that matter, with a mobile phone and just sticking your phone on Facebook Live and just watching a bit of balls, you know, that attracts an audience. So no mean feat getting 80,000 people clicking a button to watch our stream.
That's right, mate. That's right. And we did try a little bit Denny Cup as well. Yourselves, the Vipers, playing Cumbria.
Yeah.
And that, for all it was a 4-hour long, people are dipping in and dipping out. The viewing figures for that was tremendous as well, mate.
Brilliant. I just, you know, it's not a gripe. I do chuckle sometimes. I mean, I think Jason was touching on it earlier on when he was saying, I think people think that we're on £50,000 a year doing this thing. But, you know, we cannot cover every angle. You cannot get every shot that's happening. You kind of get every head that's happening at the time. I think people have just got to respect the fact that it costs a lot of money to put a professional service out there.
Yeah.
And even if it is just a case of, we will show as much balls as we can, but keep you updated with the scores and keep people updated with what's happening. And, you know, 99% has gone really well, and the feedback's been tremendous. We've just had the one or two on there, which are just don't seem to live in the real world and think that we've got 60 cameras all over the place. You know, it's just crackers.
Yeah. But, I mean, after doing the Denny, when we for all it was only two rings, I can see why we don't get team matches on televised, because you just kind of get the camera angles.
Yeah.
You need overhead cameras. I mean, we introduced a new camera, which is a 12-foot high camera, and we still couldn't get the right angles because the people were just standing in front of the heads.
I think the only way you could potentially get something like that's like a zip line down the middle of the green, and it's like, and obviously Potters do a great job with that type of thing, with the overhead shots and everything, and the circles for guides and things. But as we said, that cost big bucks, big money.
Well, it is, mate. Yep. Yeah, I quite agree. I mean, blowing our own trumpets, but I mean, we'll probably give them £500 worth of prizes out from a podcast that is, yeah, we do get sponsored well. The investment into the equipment comes from ourselves. We're not looking for medals or pats on the back, so it's something that we enjoy doing. So overall, it's been a good 12 months, mate.
Yeah, definitely. And like we mentioned earlier on, it's, you know, people might get sick of hearing us saying it all the time, but we've got to give massive thanks for those supporters of the podcast as well, because they have been a huge help. We've, you know, some of those prizes have been great prizes that have been provided by them. XX20 now, you know, touching back to Alex Marshall Sports, who provided prizes every month as well. Couldn't do it without them.
Yeah.
And then you've got Lean to Succeed, who are, you know, supporters of us, and Balls as well. So we always thank them, and it's a simple thing. But, you know, I think it's such a big thing from my point of view, because it's quite easy to forget those that support the sport as well.
Yeah, here, mate. Here. Now, when I was a kid, I used to hide behind the sofa and watch Doctor Who. Now I hide behind the sofa when I hear the words balls or balls. Brace yourself.
Richie's going to pull his hair out here, because I've want to see how good you two boys are with your world championship knowledge. So I'm going to have the six-time world champion against the six-time world chump at the top there. And...
Not looking forward to this.
Just before you get too excited, it is because it's the return of Balls or Balls World Championship Special. Get up there. The legend is back. Completely ruined by Rednell and Cooler a few months ago, should I say, because we couldn't understand a word they said. So, a little twist on this one, just to test you both even more. You might have to write this down, but we're going to do it. The Mackham Sunderland version of Balls or Balls. So the answers are going to be, why balls, pet, if it's for balls? And that's balls like, if it's for balls. Mr. Mackay,
I kind of see no gone wrong with this. I think this will run lovely. I think this will go smoothly, this.
Oh, me too. So just remember, why balls like... sorry, no, I've got it wrong. Put that bit out. Why balls, pet, or that's balls like...
Jason, just say that's bollocks.
Can I just quote something from your last podcast? What was that? What did Sean Murphy say? You shouldn't let amateurs involved in this.
Naffle.
Give me the second one. I've got down why Bowles pet.
Why Bowles pet for yes, and that's Bowles like for no. And I want it in your best Sunderland accent because I know Jason.
Jason.
Jason, we're going to go with you first so Alex can have a little bit of a listen and a practice. And just to make it a little bit easier for you, I've given you a really easy question for your first question. Then it gets a little bit trickier.
I haven't written him down. I thought it was Richie. I thought Richie
was
playing. I'm just laughing away.
No.
I'm just pulling my hair out.
Oh, what was it? White Bowles pet him up?
That's Bowles like if it's no.
Right.
That's Bowles like.
That's Bowles like. Oh. That's Bowles like.
We speak the Queen's English.
Let's see if this goes smoothly.
Oh no.
Are we ready? Are we ready there, Jason? Here we go. First question, easy one. Alex has won 6 world championships.
Oh, that's Bowles like.
I'm glad I got the easy one out the way then. 2. Richard Corsi won 3 indoor titles.
Oh, I could have got my notepad in. Oh, fuming. Absolutely fuming.
Just answer the question, man.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, so I thought about Alex. Richard Corsi, that's White Bowles like.
3. Just before we move on, right? Jason, if it's yes, it's White Bowles pet. If it's no, it's that's Bowles like.
Oh, all right, okay. I'm now handing you to the BBC.
This is going swimmingly, as always.
White Bowles pet.
So that's your answer to the second one.
Yeah, White Bowles pet.
Question 3. Stuart Anderson won his first of 2 world championships in 2012.
White Bowles pet. E-pet.
Question 4. Since 1979, there's been 16 English winners of the world championships.
I was born in 78. That's Bowles like.
And question 5. Robert Whale and John Price are the only Welsh winners of the World Championships.
No. There was Sullivan, I think. That's Bowles like.
I love it. Right, so you...
We get a bonus point for the name?
Yeah, I'll give you half a point for that. It was Terry Sullivan.
Yep.
Quick answer to your question. So the easy one, which you got wrong, which is unbelievable. Alex has won 6 world championships. That's Bowles like, so I'm not even going to give you a point.
I was too busy trying to put on my classic cagoule pet.
Richard Corsi won 3 indoor titles and he says that's Bowles pet and it was Bowles like because he's only won 2. Actually, no, he hasn't. He's won 3.
I thought I'd bloody get it right. Well, on to D Shore.
Stuart Anderson won the first of his 2 in 2012 and he says that's why Bowles pet and no, it was 2013, so you got nothing for that. Since 1979, 16 English winners. You said Bowles. It was Bowles, yes. There has been 16 English winners. And you got the last one right, which was Terry Sullivan won it in 1985. So there's actually 3 Welshmen who have won the World Championships. So thanks for making that a calamity, as always, Jason. You did very well. And you got 3.5 points out of 5. You get. Congratulations, thanks. Mr. Parkinson.
That should be enough, Jason.
That's it now. Yeah.
Enough.
Right, I've always said Bowles is very boring to watch.
Right then, Alex, here we go. 5 questions. Easy one. Ian Schuback was the first and only overseas winner.
That's Bowles pet.
Tony Alcott won first of his 3 titles in 1986.
That's Bowles pet.
Since 1979, there's been 20 winners from Scotland.
That's Bowles like.
Jim Baker was the Irish winner in 1983.
That's Bowles pet.
And Greg Harlow has won the World Championships once.
That's Bowles pet.
Well, I would just like to congratulate Alex for making that extremely smooth, unlike your co-partner there, who just made an absolute balls of it. But
one right.
Schuback was the first and only overseas winner. You got that right. That's 1 point.
Easy.
Tony Alcock won the first of his 3 in 1986. You said that's Bowles pet, and that was right. 86, 87 and 2002. Since 1979, 20 winners from Scotland, and you've said that's Bowles like, and that is correct. It was 22 winners, so 3 points. Jim Baker, Irish winner in 1983, and I believe you said why Bowles pet, and unfortunately that's Bowles like, because it was in 1984.
Bob Sutherland from Scotland won it in 1983. You need the last one right to beat Jason, who's on 3.5 points. And Greg Harlow's won the Worlds once, and you said that bull's pet. And it was indeed. So 4 points to Mr. Marshall.
And the question for the car is the Spanish Armada was... I'll phone a friend, please. I'll phone Nicky Brett.
Just wait till Richie does the editing on that. That's going to sound absolutely tremendous. It's going to be like ITV primetime, that ball the ball.
Not hoping now. And now we return to Alex and Jason. Well, I'm going to ask two things for you. Alex, Olympics. Still a possibility there, mate?
Yeah. You know, I think it will eventually happen. It'll probably happen when I'm probably retired. But, yeah, but you know, fingers crossed, I hope it does happen. Eventually, there's a lot of good vibes going about that bowls is going to be in the Olympics. Some might not be the next one, but maybe the following one. But, you know, it's a sport that we've got. We've got hundreds of thousands of people that play it all over the world. And they're bringing in other sports like, you know, snowboarding, and there's some pathetic sports that are involved in the Olympics. And you've got a game such as bowls who you can play from 6-year-old to 96-year-old, where the competitors that we've got, you know, bowls should be in the Olympics. Without a doubt.
We know a better chance than Australia, because I think Australia's pushing it, aren't they? Because they can include a popular sport within their country when the Olympics go down. So fingers crossed for you, mate. So you're on that top of the rostrum.
You know, I'd love, you know, it would need to happen pretty soon for myself. But you know, even for the future, you know, I would love to see bowls should be in the Olympics. It's, you know, we're up there, you know, with some of the best sports in the world. But, you know, for some reason, we don't get an opportunity, which is quite sad. You know, I know World Bowls pushed it for quite a while, as now are Bowls Australia. So let's hope that they're successful, and let's hope that we get involved in the Olympics at some point.
I think we'll be stuffed if we get kicked out of the Commonwealth Games, because they're talking about cutting down the number of elite sports, aren't they?
I don't think bowls will disappear from, you know, the Commonwealth Games. I don't think it will. But who knows what's going to happen in the future.
We have spoke about it on our previous one, but now that I've got two seasoned internationals down in the bottom of the Zoom call here, the changing format of the home international series, the Irish lads have been quite vocal against it. So I've got an Englishman and a Scotsman. There you go. What's your thoughts on the changes, the proposed changes to a top 10 format from a 24-man team, woman team even?
To be honest, my own opinion, I think it's terrible, you know, what they're doing. I'm open-minded about it. You know, I like to speak my mind. You know, for people who are coming through, 15, 16-year-olds that want to represent their country, you know, that opportunity is getting taken away from them. If they're going to 10 players, what chance has the up-and-coming players got? They've no chance. You know, if there's 24 players getting selected with 4 reserves, they've got every opportunity, you know, to get a chance to play for their country. So I just don't know why this year top 10 is going to be better than a home international series. I think it's crazy, to be honest.
Jason?
Yeah, I agree with Alex 100%. You know, so I think making something smaller for this sport isn't the way forward, I don't think at all. And then you look at the other side of it, just the atmosphere and things. You know, I know it's to do with cost, but if these people that are involved with organising this, that's where they need to start rallying some sponsorship for them, don't they? You see so many events, especially outdoors. You know, you turn up, look at some of the outdoor events at Leamington. I think I won 2 nationals and lost in the final one. I think I won 3 badges, £2.50 and a pizza voucher, I think. I've been playing all year. You think, oh, cheers. Thanks very much. You know what I mean? Just unbelievable. And that's what... They must have somebody in that organisation getting sponsorship, surely. Very, very easy at small sponsorship, you know. I think you've got to go for the small sponsorship. When I took over the PBAs, I got the PBA stuff, small sponsorship money, you know, sorted. So I thought, oh, OK, I'll go a little bit more. So all the PBA stuff next year, the sponsorship's all in place here and now already. So it can be done. It's just, again, back down to that same person, knocking on the same doors all the time, asking for the money. That's the other issue, isn't it? You know, when you start thinking... These players that are time and time again going to the national finals, I know it's a different event this year. It was more like what they do in Scotland and have it as an event. It looked an awful lot better. But when you're playing all year, then you've got all that massive cost for hotels and you might win a couple of things. And when you look at it, you think, is this really worth it? But then you think, well, actually, if I keep going, I could get into the international team or Commonwealth Games. That's your kind of your point there, isn't it? So you think, okay, now the Commonwealth Games has gone, let's say if it goes. So I've no Commonwealth Games now. And there's only 10 places available in this international team now.
Good point.
I really love it that much. That is the issue.
It is. And I think the key question to come out of that, Jason, is what type of pizza did you get?
Hey, I always look after you two. I'll let you have a little suck on me gherkin, won't you?
Hey! Best-selling ringtone that mind, yeah.
Oh. I'm going to nibble on my gherkin.
Hey!
I'm gonna nibble on my gherkin.
Hey!
I'm gonna nibble on my gherkin.
I was giggling, listening to it in the car, and this guy at the side of me at the lights, I was laughing that much. This guy, when you're kind of like laughing away, then you look and you think, this guy's just looking at me thinking, what is he on?
If that doesn't make the Boxing Day bloopers, Jason, I'll run a Potter's portable rink naked.
Oh my god! Oh, no comment.
No comments, indeed.
David Bolt naked on a portable rink. Oh.
You're not seeing because he's wasting away.
Does pink show up all right on the portable rink, or will I have to paint myself red and green?
Could be sponsored by a Chinese phone, but with that many chins.
Oh, never gets old. And it's competition time. Thanks, as always, to XX20. We mentioned earlier on that they're throwing in a £40 voucher for this competition, and there'll be a few others there as well. Very, very simple question with a simple answer. So it'll give as many people a chance to win one of the nice prizes as possible. So the World Championships is going to be taking place in January 2022, and it's at a certain resort. Just let us know what the name of that resort is. Drop us an email on wrong.bias@hotmail.com, or drop us a message on the Facebook page, or drop on a comment on the actual post itself, just to let us know what the answer is. Everybody will go in a draw, and you'll go on the Wheel of Steel, and we'll draw the winners out in the new year.
Well, for those who followed our live streaming attempts, you'll recognise that theme tune. Here's a few of my favourite clips.
And good morning, everybody. We are live from Heaton Park. We've got the rickshaw out. We've travelled around the world, and we're on the Costa del Sol in Manchester. The temperature's about, what do you reckon, mate?
Six or seven, I think.
Six
at the
or
minute.
7 degrees here. So there's a little breeze blowing.
It felt like I travelled around the world. Yes, it took us 3.5 hours to get to Manchester, which in traffic on a Friday.
It is baked. The sandwiches are flowing, the coffee's there, the coffee's cold.
Now, is it Gavin Taylor or is it Trevor Taylor? 50-50, phone a friend.
Trying to watch Gavin for some reaction, but I think he might be one of them lads how you don't get much reaction out of Gavin.
Gavin?
Trevor. Oh, sorry, Gavin. Trevor. We'll keep a check how many mistakes I do today. That's two already. Any guesses, folks, on Facebook? Any guesses?
As you said, mate, we're not called Dodgy Productions for that.
Yeah, right.
And don't you just love it when your opposition chuck 5 words all over the green and then produce a pearler?
Oh, great ball again from my... Oh, that's a killer as well. Absolute killer. Trev's expression says it all.
He explained himself.
Trev's not looking overly impressed.
And this was one of many predictions that we got wrong.
Trev's going to do well to get more than one out of this, mate, I think.
Ah,
the old company
is
cursing for
two. Great
call there, Rich. I was even watching the ball go off.
He's got the ball away. He might want you to say that again, eh, Rich? Trev's definitely going to struggle to get another one in here. He looks similar.
Keeping about.
There we go. It's easy, this, isn't it?
Easy shots. Easy.
You're commentating on my games.
Now it's easy. Best of three tiebreaker. Win two ends and you shake hands. Well, that's what we thought.
And he's following it. Has he gone tight?
He got the ball?
No.
He's just gone now.
I've no idea what's happening here.
Well, guys,
we've got to
apologise.
We've got no idea.
They blanked the scoreboard, so we presumed that they were starting the tie break. They obviously aren't, so now we're going into the third end of the tie break.
We've got a clear what up there.
Extremely helpful, guys.
Thank you very much. Get the tiddlywinks out, mate. Yeah. We haven't got a. Where's the organiser?
In our defence, we're looking right across the green here, but they're not exactly helping us.
Give me strength. What's happening here? If you were at home not knowing what happened, we ain't got a clue.
We're here.
We're watching it. We ain't got a clue what's happening with
right.
this.
Right. I'm taking a wild stab in the dark here. I'm going to say this is the last end of the tiebreaker. Stewie Airy's on the mat, so the Scottish boys have got the last ball. And if this is wrong, we're packing up and going home.
Now listen closely as our mate Graham Vipond expressed his disappointment at an umpire's measure.
What's got to stay more, mate? My backside on my foot.
Yeah, we probably could have picked a more comfortable seat.
Cast iron. We apologise for any language that you might have heard.
Graham thinking they might have measured the wrong ball when it was in the ditch earlier on. Thought he was two.
And then about 10 minutes later, Graham came back with this absolute gem.
Right, folks, I think we're going to have a break for 5 minutes. And then we'll come back the next part of the seconds.
Bit of industrial language, someone said, on the ring.
Right.
It's a man's game, tell them.
That's the style, Graham.
It's a man's game.
Industrial language.
There's a bit of chalk or something.
Thank you very much.
Right, folks, we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
When we covered the Silkworth Pumas against Gosforth Top Club, it was a nice quiet September afternoon. Well, that's what we thought. My ears are still ringing.
Just to give you some idea how loud that music is, I'm actually sitting at the other end of the green. You could probably pick it up here.
And just when we thought it was safe...
Oh, we're getting our music back then. Just what we wanted.
Here we go. And here comes the second set for us. Apparently the second set's better than the first.
Right then, so just a little bit of a round off. So 2022, what's it going to bring, guys? I know, obviously, Alex, we know you're out in Australia. Have you got anything else? We'll say you're back in the international team indoors as well after missing the last year or the last one, was it?
I didn't play the last one, but, you know, depending on what happens, you know, with COVID, if I'm not going to Australia, I will be in the home internationals. But if I'm over in Australia, I will miss it, unfortunately. I always like to play in the home internationals. It's... You know, it's a great event, you know, over the 3 days, and it's it normally comes down to the last day against obviously Scotland and England, which is always great to be involved in. It's always a half tussle, but it's always a great game. But hopefully I am in Australia, to be honest, and come back from there. We've got the Commonwealth Games coming up in June, July, which is going to be good. We've got a strong team. Myself, Paul Foster, Ian McLean, Dan Burnett, and who's another one?
Stuart Anderson.
Yeah, great team. Although I do feel for, you know, the guys that have missed out, you know, because we've got such a strong squad, somebody is going to miss out. But all the guys that are involved have deserved, you know, their place. They've all played great in the test series leading up to the selection. So I think all the guys and all the ladies are looking forward to going to Leamington for the Commonwealth Games. So let's hope that things improve by that time and we're able to get a big crowd at Leamington supporting all the, you know, the UK teams. And yeah, it's something to look forward to.
Mr. Parkinson, 2022, what's your thoughts? What's your hopes?
Well, we're just trying to get certain things going. The biggest one at the moment is obviously we're getting additional events for the World Bowls Tour. There's something in the pipeline there for March in the northern part of England, which would be quite good. Something very different for the World Bowls Tour there. And just as well to make sure we secure the Scotland thing back as well. I did a very shameful plug the other day. I noticed I'm quite friendly with the managing director of ScotRail, and he just happened to post that he just had his booster. And right above his head was the Jewish Centre. So here comes the biggest shameful plug you'll see in your life. And I said, oh, marvellous, that's where the Scottish International is. I said, what a marvellous company to to sponsor that, you know, being in charge of ScotRail, you know. All right, I've had a phone call, so we're just doing some bit of chatting as well. But I've said that to him for the last couple of years now. Scottish International, sponsored by ScotRail, would be fantastic.
Great stuff.
Yeah, I don't. I'm one of these. I think sometimes you can use your humour in a way, slightly saying, "Hey, we could do a bit of money there." It just shows you people are willing to engage. You know, it's how you secure that. It's how we sell bowls, isn't it? Bowls is such a hard sport to sell because what do you do with it? Do you know what I mean? Everyone shortens the game. We shorten the game. You can't shorten bowls anymore. You really, really can't, you know, the tie breaking stuff. You know, we put the shot clock in for, at the time when the shot clock was introduced, it did its job. You know, there's still quite a few slow players around then. So it served a purpose. But I think, you know, if it fell off the wall this year, I don't think it would catch many players out. I really, really don't. We're just so used to it now. Very, very quick. You know, by the time the umpires reset it, they've gone, you know. So, yeah, there's a couple of different things that we're looking at adding on, if you wish, additional. So when the shot clock's behind them, we're going to try and get that into, we've got a couple of extra cameras this year, especially for the streaming. So we're going to try and, when it gets to 10 seconds, the shot clock will appear into, like, say, the top right-hand corner of the screen for people to see that the shot clock's there. Those kind of things are in place. And we're also looking at, off the back of last year, how we get people in the commentary box. So we're using our same in-house broadcaster for the stream. We're going to have, like, a virtual commentary option as well. So we don't have a robot's not going to pop up, but we're going to have, so we'll have an option, say, I don't know, if there's an Australian playing in it one year, we could get someone like Mr. Shoeback, say, you can spare us 2 hours, we can speak to him live from Australia, and it will be placed in the commentary box with myself. I think that'd be fantastic for the sport, something very, very different. You know, he commentates on some of the exciting stuff in Australia there, and it's, again, just these little add-ons that we can get for players, the sport and the competitions, really. So that's my main aim. Obviously, I've got my bowls, Lancashire stuff as well. And then at some point, I might throw a few bowls down the green if I can, kind of a thing. You know, it's just one of those things. Maybe an odd holiday. You know, I might go and watch Alex.
Maybe the odd holiday in first class. And the only bloke I know who gets on first class, gets on a public bus and still manages to fit in first class somehow. It's unbelievable.
Objection. You've never seen me on a bus, David Bolt. I'll be speaking to my solicitor.
I'll cut that out.
Yeah. You'd be hell for that, yeah. You know, I like my holidays. But I would definitely, I was speaking to David Holt a few weeks ago. The Australia game, I find very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Not just the game, just the whole thing, how it works. I know everybody says, well, yeah, they've got the weather. Yeah, I know they've got the weather, but sometimes there they can have really awful weather as well, but it still happens. They've got the beautiful facilities, haven't they? They're absolutely stunning, aren't they? But I think bowls, I think you were talking about the communication. I think the biggest issue for our sport is, it's not making an excuse. I think the people that are doing this work, 9 times out of 10 do it for free, don't they? They are normally volunteers, and it's normally the same volunteers, doing it when they've got a couple of hours free, apart from their career. So it's hard, isn't it, saying, well, that's not been done. But when they're doing it for free all the time, it's different. You look at other sports, whoever's, you know, doing, like, some of the commentary from maybe the World Darts, or, you know, the stuff behind the scenes, that the directors of the tournament for that particular tournament, you can't tell me they're there for nothing, not at all. There's money involved, and that's where this sport needs to go. Getting it there is a whole new ball game, quite literally, a whole new ball game, isn't it? That's the issue. People just don't understand sometimes. It's like, so when we get some of the comments come through, you think, God, I'm sure this person must think I'm on 50 grand a year to do what we're doing. We do it just for the love of it and just try and move it forward. That's the biggest issue we have for this sport. And the bowlers, sometimes, they are their own worst enemy. Very selfish at times. Want to moan, but don't want to do any work.
There's no tighter than a bowler, mate, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, gents, I'll not keep you anymore on it. Thanks, as always, for coming on. You're always welcome and always great guests. So thanks so much. And obviously, we'll only be a couple of weeks, and I'll be seeing you down in the resort, down at Potter's.
Thank you very much. See you waddling up and down there. Be great.
Waddling up and down there.
Like a machine by the time I get there, man. We're 2.5 stone down now, man, Jason. I'm flying.
Without rings.
2.5? You lost 2.5?
2.5 stone gone now, aye?
You?
Aye.
I've done all right. I'm not nothing like you. I've lost 1.5 stone. But
I can tell you've lost. I was going to ask you earlier on. You look like you've lost weight.
Yeah, I've lost 1.5 stone. I'm actually walking a lot. I'm not eating the same either. I'm above the main meal at night time, but watching having the right breakfast, fruit for lunch and stuff like that. So I'm just slowly losing it because I lost too much weight the last time too quickly, and I totally lost my delivery. So, you know, I don't want that to happen before Potter's do.
Especially this year, it's all inclusive. Good luck to you. There'll be another Commonwealth game story of Balti coming.
That's why I'm going to put another skip. I'm going to put a stone of it back on over Christmas to get me delivery back.
I can't sit down at that table without eating at least 15 profiteroles.
God knows how I'm going to keep away from that buffet. Like,
I can just see it. You got to have a camera set up in the dining area, aren't you? He's sat there bending forks like.
Is that the midnight buffet you're talking about, or the?
To be honest with you, if it's all inclusive, I'm just going to sit down at 9:30 in the morning. I'll probably not move until 2:30. I'll just keep picking. Great stuff, guys. Well, thanks again. And hope you both have a lovely Christmas and New Year. And we'll look forward to catching up with you both in 2022.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Giraffe pet.
That's balls like.
Now it's blooper time.
And we also have our regular competition sponsored by XX20, where we're going to have a question this week, not the video. And anybody who wants to enter the competition, just stick it on. Why am I saying this? I don't want to say this. This is just the opening. This is just the opening part. You say this is the competition bit. Oh, man, oh. You know, when you watch TV programs and you see them making the balls up all the time and you go, how can they do it so many times? Our regular competition, sponsored by XX20, and we will be asking... Oh, bollocks, man, you're going to do that, don't you? Yeah, I've got to start again, sorry. Right, deep breath. And yeah, and that's everything, and that's the complete and utter balls up by Davey Balls on the 7th of November 2021. Happy Christmas, everybody. Listen to all this on the Christmas show. Okay.
That's what you're worried about.
Hey, you're completely seamless.
I know, there's been nothing. You say, he's done that well, hasn't he? He's done that very well. He's never made a mistake at all.
And it's competition time, and thanks as always to our current sponsors, Bowls' Bowls, and I've done it again. I've completely had a mind blank. Start again.
Right, mate, that's theme tune is the World of Sport. Easy. Big Daddy on a Saturday afternoon and giant air stacks. Oh, that great build up, I forget me, lost me. Like a thought. Easy.
Loser.
Tosser. Start again. That'll get in the Christmas one. Right, mate. Oh, God.
Right, that's it, folks. Catch you later.
That's it. 5 minutes. 5 minute World of Sport's gone.
I can't work with these amateurs anymore.
That's it, I'm aware. Right, there you go, mate.
I can't believe you didn't chuck a snooker question in there.
Right, another one under the... Oh, poof. God. Right, here we go. Right, I'm firing blanks again. Right. Right, here we go.
We've also got a bit of a review on the podcast. So we'll be having a little 5 minute chat about how the podcast is going, etc. No, that's a lot of shit. I don't know what I'm saying that for. That's another ball. As always, thanks to Ling to Succeed and Bowls' Bowls, who are also great supporters of the podcast as well. So, here's your question. The World Championships.
You know what it is? You've just gone straight into the competition, and it's competition time. You've gone, what's on? And then you just carried on. You've never.
I just thought you could edit it out.
And it's competition.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one then.
You're just like a runaway train.
Alright, so that'll do for that bit then.
Marvellous. That'll go on a treat, that.
And on today's show, we've got Katie Bull McCook, who is an award-winning fitness Need to go back and do that again. Award-winning fitness entrepreneur, isn't it? That's the
entrepreneur. Please use that because entrepreneur. I turned into Kenneth Williams. Right, here we go. Oh, hold on, start again. I was in the wrong one there. Right, here we are again. Show 30.
All right, tell me short. It's how, I didn't know if you knew, Richie, but it's our 30th show to do.
Pearls, Elty Brooks.
I think off the top of my head, I think it's... Who did we mention who is the seven-time world snooker champion who has come back out of retirement? Answers either by email on wrong.bias. What is it again? Wrong.bias.
Wrong.bias. No, wrongbias.com. Wrong.bias.
Is it not wrong.bias? It's wrong.bias. No, kind of. How long is it since we did this?
The email is actually wrong.bias.com.
Is it?
The website is wrongbias.com.
Wrong.bias.
Oh, it is wrongbias.hotmail.com. I am even mixed up. I did email us.
No, that long since we... It's wrong.bias.hotmail.com. Aye, it is. I'm just checking it now. It's that long since we've done a podcast, man. We're losing the plot. Send your answers to a vibe. Oh, Christ almighty.
Oh, dear me.
And finally, our favourite shaggy dog story.
To finish off with, a little shaggy dog tale, mate, isn't it?
Because I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, for those people who aren't aware, Davey plays for a different club to me, and we went head-to-head about a couple of weeks ago in a league game. And
I called it before the draw had even come out, didn't I?
You did, mate, you did. We always get each other. You always give. I lost a 31-shot thriller, folks. What was the score? 22-9?
When you said 31, I couldn't remember getting a shot. I was thinking it was 31.
He was butchered us. Anyway, on the night, we're playing, we just started, and I got behind this little Alsatian. This young Alsatian running around the outside of the green. I've gone, I can see what's coming. Well, Silkswith's got like an iron fence around it and the gate that they get in. I've gone, oh, I'll try and shut the gate before the dog comes in. Couldn't get the gate shut because they were standing in the way. Sure enough, this young Alsatian, whoosh onto our rink, sniffing the balls, chasing the balls and what have you. And then the owner, this poor lassie, comes running up, mortified that the dog's on the green, trying to get it. She gets onto the green, gets a hold of the dog. And then all of a sudden, things went wrong. Now,
Vesuvius.
Now if you're busy eating anything at the minute, like a curry or anything, a spag ball, maybe he's put it down because what happened next was tragic. The dog took the squat position. We were all mortified. And all of a sudden, it dropped a load.
It wasn't just a couple of logs there. There wasn't.
And we think the dog might have had a curry the night before because it came out in drips and drabs on the hand of one of our hands.
Rancid.
He was gagging.
I haven't got a good one to start with. That wind blew in my direction, I nearly
we couldn't do nothing for laughing. The poor lass was couldn't. She was beset by herself.
Mortified, wasn't she? I'm so sorry.
Then she went to get a carrier bag. I said, you need a horse, not a carrier bag. She come out with a carrier bag. She screamed it off the green.
Thankfully for us, it was just on the edge of the rink, wasn't it? So I did try to get Mr. Farquhar to play a high draw to cover a shot that wasn't existing because I was desperate for him to go straight through.
It was funny, I'll tell you. It was horrendous. And then one of you lads got a bucket of water, tried to wash it away, and he went to get a mop. What's he doing with the mop?
Hey, that's our ex-secretary you're talking about.
I'll tell you what, the tears are rolling down the back of my neck. I was crying, I was. But anyway, I hope you haven't put your people off the food.
The things that happen in a game of balls.
I'd like to see Sue Bart introduce that. Well, Phil Tufnell, what happens next to you? Does the dog draw the shot down the forehand?
the biggest regret for us was we weren't live streaming at the time.
I was digging for my phone. I said, that's my phone. Get 250 quid on you've been framed. Right, there you go, mate. Show 38 over and done with. Lovely little chat there with Mr. Parkinson and Mr. Marshall. Great to catch up with them. And before we go any further, I wish you the best of luck down at Potters, mate.
We'll chuck a few and see how we get on.
In January, isn't it?
January the 12th, 2 p.m. You know, it's a very, very tough opening game, but I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to get back down there again. And we'll see how we get on.
Nice to see you on the telly, mate. Well, it'll be covered by Facebook or probably YouTube.
Yeah, the first round's definitely, yeah. So just get your... get your 56-inch screens out because you'll need them to get my backside in.
Yeah, well, best of luck, mate. That's it, folks, for another year. We've enjoyed it. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the podcast. We hope you continue to enjoy listening to the podcast, tuning into the live stream and watching the live balls. We'll try our best. We hope you've had a lovely Christmas. We'll wish you all the best for the new year. And just keep your heads down and keep safe, folks.
Definitely. Thanks, everybody. Have a lovely new year. And just keep spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for all your support.
Cheers, folks. Bye.
Thank you for listening and hope you've enjoyed the show.
This has been a Dodgy Production.